Chapter 4. The next morning, Lexi dropped Sprinkles off at the Pampered Pooch for a bath and haircut, and to have her nails clipped. The small pet grooming business was owned by Betty Farmer, who lived at the Brook Ridge Falls retirement community. Had she been at the party the previous night? Probably. Most of the residents had been, whether they were in the book club or not. Maybe Betty would have some information Lexi could use. But when Lexi arrived, she was told that Betty wasn't coming in until later that day. Oh, well, maybe that was for the best. If Lexi and the ladies discovered something today, perhaps she could use Betty to verify it. After dropping off Sprinkles, Lexi stopped at the Cup and Cake long enough to make sure the coffee urns were perking, the cafe tables were sparkling clean, and the pastry case was full. She went over the plan for the day with Cassie, then left her in charge and headed to the retirement center with a white bakery box full of fresh pastries. She knew Nans and the ladies would have their makeshift command center set up in Nans's dining room, and she didn't want to miss out on the review session. She knocked on the apartment door, then let herself in even before Nans called out, "Come in." Ida made a beeline for the pastry box, took it out of Lexi's hands, and lifted the lid to peer inside. "Glad you could make it, Lexi. We were just about to go over the information we know. Grab a coffee and have a seat." Nans gestured at the mahogany dining table, set with dainty cups and saucers and linen napkins. Ida was already placing the pastries on the triple-tiered server in the middle of the table. Naturally, she'd taken the liberty of piling a few of her favorites on her own plate. Lexi sat across from Helen, who was looking rather grumpy. Her plate was empty, but she eyed everyone's pastries like a starving dog in a butcher shop. Maybe she was grumpy because her blood sugar was low. Ida held out an apple turnover toward Helen. "Pastry?"
"You know I'm off carbs."
Helen gave a snooty sniff, pulled a small container of fat-free cottage cheese from her handbag, and proceeded to open it.
"Do any of you have any idea how many calories and carbs those pastries have in them? I mean, they look delicious, as always, but my health is more important. Why, did you know there's 11 grams of sugar alone just in that one apple turnover Ida's scarfing down?" She gave her friend a flat stare. 11. Shameful. I much prefer my healthier alternative and less padding on my hips, thank you very much. No offense, Lexi."
"None taken." Lexi did her best not to laugh as Ida made a show of shoving half the turnover in her mouth at once just to tick Helen off. She chewed with a smile, then wiped the crumbs from the front of her pastel floral-printed blouse, her gaze never leaving Helen. "Good thing I didn't bring any gooey chocolate brownies or almond scones then, I guess," Lexi said.
"I'd love some of those, too."
Ida's tone was defiant. She crossed her arms and sat back.
"A little extra padding never hurt anyone."
"As interesting as this topic is," Nans cast an unamused stare at her friends, "I'd much prefer to hear if Jack spilled any investigation secrets to you last night, Lexi."
Not really. Lexi finished the last bite of lemon Danish, then wiped her mouth. They were exceptionally good today, she had to admit. The pastry dough was light and flaky, with that hint of butter at the end, and the citrus filling was deliciously tart, with a bit of sweet to keep you from puckering up completely.
"Unfortunately, they just don't know much at this point. The only thing they did find out from the ME is that Mary was struck on the back of the head with the contest trophy. That's what killed her. But whoever committed murder just left it there on the floor."
"Did they get prints from the trophy?"
Nans asked. "Jack said no, it was wiped clean.
Ah,
Nans nodded sagely.
Premeditated, then.
What about the pies?
Ida asked. Jack said they suspect someone lost something in one of them. That's why they took them all yesterday. He mentioned some looked like they'd been dug into in the middle, while others were missing large sections of crust. Helen coughed around a bite of her cottage cheese and shifted in her seat, not looking at anyone.
Darn, Ida sulked. Now we'll never get them back to eat.
Time to start mapping all this out.
Nans rose and went into her spare bedroom, then emerged with a large rolling whiteboard they used to keep track of clues and suspects. She opened a red marker, and the room filled with a noxious smell as she started writing, the marker squeaking on the board as she made several columns. At the top of each, she wrote titles, suspects, clues, and motives.
Well, we can start by listing Howard Archer at the top of the suspects list, Ida said. On all the TV shows, the spouse is always the first to be interrogated.
Nans wrote his name down, then listed the trophy under clues.
I suppose it makes sense that the killer would use it, as it would have been handy. But then, maybe that rules it out as a clue, if it was only chosen because of convenience. And why would the killer leave it behind afterward?
Meh, leave it up there for now, Ruth chimed in. My biggest concern is our lack of other suspects at the moment. Didn't anybody see anything suspicious right before Mary was killed?
Ida frowned.
Honestly, that room was so busy right then, I don't remember much of anything.
Me either,
Nans agreed.
So many people milling about and things happening. The waiters, the speakers, and the committee members handling last-minute party business.
Lexi glanced at Helen, who was still scowling down into her cottage cheese, but didn't say anything. After all, what could she say? She'd seen her standing in the hallway near the main dining room entrance, looking a bit at odds. Hardly a crime. Given her strange behavior since she'd started her diet, not unusual. It just seemed strange that she wouldn't mention she was near the room. She was right at the end of the hallway, just before Lexi found Mary's body. If she'd been in the hall, she might have seen the killer. Of course, if Helen had seen anyone who could be the killer, she would say something. In all the chaos, it was possible Helen hadn't seen anything, and there was nothing to mention. After all, she had seemed quite distracted by that handbag of hers. Lexi eyed the beige patent leather bag sitting on the floor next to Helen. Maybe it was filled with cottage cheese, and she didn't want any of the other low-carbers to take her stash.
I know!
Nans clapped her hands, making Lexi jump and drawing her attention back to the task at hand.
Helen, you still remember how to hypnotize people, yes? You could do that to us now to help us each remember what we saw at the exact time Mary Archer was killed.
Oh, I don't know. Helen pushed aside her half-eaten cottage cheese cup. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm out of practice.
Come on, Ida said. It's probably like riding a bike. You'll never forget how.
Yes, please, Ruth sat forward. You can do me first.
Helen sighed.
Fine, but don't blame me if something goes wonky. You've been warned. I'm out of practice.
She adjusted her seat and took Ruth's hand, tapping on the back of it lightly.
Okay, Ruth, I want you to close your eyes and relax. Concentrate only on the sound of my voice as all of your thoughts and cares start drifting away. That's it. Good.
Her voice became lower, more melodic.
Yes, perfect, Ruth. You are so relaxed now, floating in a warm pool of water. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you. Are you there with me?
Yes,
Ruth said, her body sagging as her muscles went lax, and her tone lightened to a whisper.
I'm there with you.
Good. Helen nodded to Nans, who took over the questioning.
Ruth, this is Mona. Can you remember back to the party yesterday? Can you tell me what you saw right before Lexi made her announcement about Mary Archer's murder?
Ruth's brows drew together.
I remember playing poker in the gambling room next door, but then I got hungry. I came back into the main dining room to see if there was any leftover food on the tables, but the only thing I found were some cold scalloped potatoes.
Her words were monotone. She frowned.
Those poker games went on all night, in the side rooms. I won even more money.
Absently, she reached down and grabbed her purse from the floor near her chair and opened it to pull out a second huge wad of cash to match the first she'd showed them the day before.
I don't remember anything else.
Great. Helen brought Ruth out of her trance and then proceeded to put Ida under. Ida, as expected, had been focused on the food.
I was watching the buffet table. It was on the side of the room. You had to pass it on the way to the hallway that led to the pie room. Did you notice anything amiss? Nans asked.
Yes, Ida nodded. Terribly amiss.
What was it?
Nans asked, and they all leaned forward to hear her answer, anticipation thick in the air. Maybe they'd finally get a new suspect for Mary's murder.
Anita Furbish, Ida said. She went through that buffet line 4 times, and then she had the audacity to go back a 5th time to load up a plate with desserts. Then there was Jimmy O'Rourke. Why, he went through the prime rib station 3 times. 3! When there's a sign right there that clearly states there is a 2 trips per person limit. Shameful.
Nans rolled her eyes and shook her head. Everyone else sighed and sat back as Helen brought Ida out of her trance. This isn't quite working out as well as we'd hoped, is it? Lexi asked.
Never mind.
Nans gave a dismissive wave.
Lexi, do you remember anything at all?
Lexi looked over at Helen again, then shook her head. What if Helen hypnotized Lexi and she spilled the beans on her secretive hallway maneuvers? That would be awkward.
No, I dropped off my last tray of dishes in the corner. Then Cassie and I headed to the pie room to make sure everything was ready.
That's when we found Mary. A shudder ran through Lexi at the remembrance of finding the body and the feel of that cool flesh beneath her fingertips when she'd felt for a pulse.
We're getting nowhere fast with the suspect list. So let's move on to motive.
Nans went back to scribbling on the whiteboard with that stinky dry erase marker of hers.
What ideas do we have here?
Jealousy is always a good start,
Helen said.
Greed or anger, too.
Which brings us back to the husband, Howard, Ida said. What about talking to Sylvia Hensel, as Ida mentioned yesterday?
Ruth asked.
She was good friends with Mary. They spent a lot of time in the office at the center together, and girls that work together tend to chat. She might know if something was amiss with their marriage. Good idea.
Nans recapped the marker at last and set it back in the tray.
That's our plan today. talk to Sylvia and find out what she knows about Mary's relationship with Howard. Let's go now.
Nance turned to Lexi.
Do you have time to drive us?
Lexi glanced at the cuckoo clock on Nance's wall. I have a few hours to spare, but I have to pick Sprinkles up from the groomers later on. Nance's eyes lit up.
You mean Betty Farmer's place?
One and the same.
Excellent. Betty was sitting at table 5 last night. She might have some insight.
Perfect. Ida plucked an eclair off the tiered tray and jumped up from her seat.
Shouldn't take long to talk to Sylvia. Let's clean up and go.
After they'd cleaned up their mess, they set off from Nance's apartment building on the outskirts of the retirement complex to the community center clubhouse at its heart. It wasn't a long walk, but it was a scorcher of a day already in the mid-80s, and they decided it would be better to drive.
Do you think she'll be there?
Lexi asked, as they made their way to her new yellow VW Bug, parked in the lot next to the building. Just the sight of it sparkling in the morning sunshine made Lexi smile. It had been a gift from Jack to replace her previous VW that had become quite cantankerous.
That's where she usually is about this time, Ruth said. And today, of all days, I'd think she'd be doing damage control, trying to keep everything straight after, well, you know, Mary's.
You wouldn't think 4 senior citizens and 1 bakery owner would fit in a VW Bug. But the ladies did yoga and were quite flexible, so it didn't take them long to squeeze into Lexi's car for the ride to the Community Center Clubhouse.